You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Went back and revisited that. That would be so pale in comparison to what you're drinking right now, especially.
It has been a long time since I've had it. Now, the Victory Prima Pills is one that I go back to for theirs. But, yeah, I don't know if I've had the Hop Devil a long time. Rick,
I try to go back every couple years, and I don't know. It's got really, really good memories, Joby.
It's sentimental value for you guys.
And I just read somewhere that they're coming out this summer. They're doing something to the Hop Devil that's going to tweak it. And I'm very excited about that. And what a bad story, because I don't know exactly what that was.
That's okay. I imagine it's going to be some sort of West Coast treatment. If I had to guess. Being that's an East Coast IPA.
That's true.
Nothing against my East Coast people.
Cooper? No.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
The town escapes me now.
Starts with a D. Downington.
Downington, Pennsylvania.
I was going to say
Duquesne. It's a suburb of Philadelphia.
Right, there you go.
Very good. So that is Rick there, and welcome this evening. I'm glad to have you hanging out with us.
Go Ducks.
And we got some tags tonight.
Wow.
So we got to make sure that everyone out there who's listening follows the conversation at hashtag HHWJNC, or if you want to spell it out, if you're just a victim to your own keyboard, HH with Joby and Curtis.
Right.
But as we get into the meat of the show tonight, it's also going to be Easter cocktails. So hashtag Easter cocktails is going to be our primary conversation hashtag.
With emphasis on the word cock, Easter cock.
What kind of show are you running around here, Curtis? I thought the emphasis was on 420.
Only because I like to be slightly blasphemous with.
Rick looks very alarmed.
I don't know what he likes. I'll take the tail.
I guess and he has to go back home with me, so he is staying with me. So we'll
right.
see. We'll see how the ride home goes. You know, we're driving, will be getting us home, and maybe I'll sit in the back seat this time. I don't know. We'll see.
So they might kick you to the back.
Do you guys feel like this is a weird holiday coming up? Because it's like, it's Easter, but then, yeah, it's 420 day at the same time.
I think it's a confluence of really great happenstances all the way around. If they would just pick a freaking day to do this, I know that I'm losing all of our devout Christian listeners now, but
the numbers are large and in charge.
Our demographic is largely
is largely Mormon, and they don't care for us anymore because of that. I agree with you. It seems strange, and I'm just glad that we get to celebrate it together, because it just seems like here's all of these sinful things coming together.
Well, and a friend of mine, who will remain unnamed.
No, come on.
No, I trust him enough to leave him anonymous. When I told him that, we're going to do the show, and it's going to be the 420 Easter show, and we're going to do Easter cocktails, and it's going to be, just makes sense. He looked at me with a straight face. 420 Easter. Man, it makes it so much easier to understand what they're talking about. Now everything makes a little more sense.
Nice. I like that. The moment of clarity.
Easter falls on Sunday this year, right?
Correct. I believe so.
Okay. I believe it's always on Sunday.
Oh.
I think that's...
Okay. I think that's why I don't get a day off.
Yeah, I never... Well, you don't get Easter Monday off? No.
That's Hangover Monday, right?
I know that stretching the Easter break out to include more or less a week of vacations is always the public school way of calling spring break, I guess. And my kids are on spring break right now, and we're nearing the last day of the official spring break, and they go back to school on Monday, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Spring break is over.
They've been really great, and I haven't actually spent a whole lot of time with them. They've been here and there, all over the place. You know, you look at the calendar and you start to farm them out to different places. So that's something for you to kind of keep in mind, Joby, as in 10 years from now, that okay, girls, let's figure out whose aunt you're going to be. Which aunt you're going to be visiting today. Oh,
which camp you're going to.
Right. Spring break camps.
Spring break camp.
10, 12-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
Well, we're in the pre-show.
Yes.
let's talk a little generic industry news.
Yes.
We got some cool stuff that's come down the pipe recently in terms of spirits and distillery. Tell the audience, kind of, especially in California, what is exciting about that industry and why people who love spirits should be rejoicing right now.
I have no idea.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
You said, Joby, don't you twist my arm.
So what's happening? I miss this.
What is happening in spirits?
In regards to the tasting rooms. There's legislation now that allows
tasting rooms. Well, a couple of our previous guests will be really happy, right?
We've had
James Carling.
James Carling, of all people, he probably did a happy dance in the middle of his living room.
So it's always been the breweries and the wineries. So actually, this is twofold news because legislation has helped them, but it's also new legislation has hurt beer festivals, right?
See, I tossed out a little nugget.
You did. So, a sad note, the Homebrew Festival is not going to happen this year at Lake Casitas, which is really sad because that's one of my favorite events, too. That and the Firestone. But the new thing says that the Homebrew guys, the Homebrew Festivals, it's long. I think it's like 25 pages of reading. I did not read the whole, to be honest. I think page one was
I don't blame
you.
I mean, even government intervention in terms of paperwork.
Yeah.
I finished my taxes. It was 160 some pages of the file.
There you go. That's perfect.
It's ridiculous. So 23 pages of a single piece of legislation.
I think it was 23. It could have been like 123. I don't know. But what it distills down to is that.
Pun intended.
Yeah, I know exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the for profit beer festivals are. That's the target of it. But unfortunately, in the wake of it, all these other places get targeted, like a homebrew festival and stuff like that. So we won't be seeing the Homebrew Fest until they have a charity and a nonprofit attached to it. But it'll affect things like California Beer Fest. It'll affect things like...
One of the things that I'm kicking around in my head is a beer festival in Camarillo. And I'm like, hey, I need the money for this thing. You know,
right.
you need that first one anyway to bank some money in order to get there. But you're not doing that. You can't do that anymore legally.
Well, it's... A charity needs to do the event. It's protecting the kind of... I think what happened is everybody all of a sudden was having a beer festival. It was like, beer festival for, you know, people who can't read. Like, the charity of people who can't read. You know, like, what charity is that? Oh, yeah, they have a 501c3.
It's the Zoolander Beer Festival.
So it just became a thing where it was just like everybody was having a beer festival.
Yeah, it's very similar to the health department regulations where in order to have a public event that has food involved... In a public space, a charity technically must be the primary organizer.
Right.
We've got this covered. We've got Jason here, nonprofit. Everybody's
nonprofit extraordinaire.
Everybody's hungry.org.
Oh, sadly.
Oh, my. Jason, you have just saved us all.
Should I break the news to him, Joby?
What? You're dropping the nonprofit?
Right. I never had a nonprofit.
What?
You
were working.
He doesn't have the proper paperwork.
So, no. The initial direction was... .org, thinking I'd do a nonprofit. And hey, we're an organization that brings education about food and beverage, and we help, you know, businesses in an organizational manner. I have a lot of foundation in terms of efficiency and paperwork, right? So I'm organized, period.
Yes. That he is.
But then I met with
and that's why the government doesn't like you. You're too organized.
And I met with a lawyer, and we talked about the types of organizations that I would be partnering with for events, you know, nonprofits on their own. And trying to benefit our local partner, Food Bank, our food share of Ventura County, and hopefully the Food Bank of Santa Barbara as we expand. And then the lawyer's like, dude, the amount of money you have to shell out and the amount of regulation and oversight that comes along with being a nonprofit.
Yeah.
If an organization tells you they don't want to partner with you because you don't have a 501c3, even though you're going to be benefiting another 501c3, you probably don't want them as a partner anyway. Like, don't invest right now. It's a lot of headache and it's a lot of money to be a 501c3 nonprofit. Stick with what you're doing right now. If you get a lot of capital or you make a lot of money down the road and you want to revisit the situation and the conversation, fine. But it's not smart for you right now.
Yeah.
So I'm for profit, baby. Bring in the bucks.
I agree. But that's
pay up, sucker.
It brings us to the thing.
Damn it.
To bring it back to the spirits discussion, it was... The spirits guys were looking at the beer, the wineries and the breweries going, why do these guys get to taste their product there? Why do they get to sell it directly at the place when we don't get to? So there was old, archaic, you know, prohibition laws. By the same token, the wine festivals live by a different set of rules than the beer festivals. And it's kind of like, oh, wine, that's okay. That's really not. No one's going to get drunk at a wine festival, right?
It's really about the
perception. It's only 14% alcohol, you know. And it was like a beer festival. That's ridiculous. A bunch of people drink a lot of beer. They're gonna get really drunk. And any of us who've been to a wine festival know.
And Curtis, you have been a judge at a lot of beer festivals. You're Cicerone. You know your stuff. You know the behind the scenes aspects. It's about perception of culture. Who's a beer drinker? Who's a wine drinker?
Right.
Who's a spirits drinker?
People, who is a spirits drinker?
When you think spirits, people don't think like high end scotch and with my cigar. They think boozing it up and
half
tequila.
Gallon of vodka.
Half gallon of Phillips and.
We did a show on that. But no, you're right. And they think like, oh, spirits, that's ridiculous. Like if you taste spirits, you're gonna something's gonna happen, you know, it's crazy. But you can, I mean, if you look at even the DMV, their little chart that shows one glass of wine, one beer, one shot, same thing. So it's like, well, if they're all the same, why can't we just get over it?
And you know, with some of the beers that we've tasted on our sister show, those things are getting up in the double-digit percentages. Yeah. They're almost wine and spirits as on their own.
Well, you're not, drinking more of them, though, right?
Well, this is a 9% beer right here.
Yes,
you
we're
know.
Drinking 13 ounces of it, where a wine, you're going to drink 6 ounces as a glass.
Right, but how many 6-ounce wine glasses have you ever seen?
Well, I have big glasses at home, so they
fit
like half a bottle.
If you fill it properly.
Yeah.
Right, I know. That's,
my
well,
glass
that's,
at home probably fits almost like a 3/4 of a bottle.
Well, that's the thing, you know, especially on the cocktail side, too, is when you go into a bar and you order a cocktail, it comes in the giant-sized martini glass, and that's what people are expecting. When a cocktail size is supposed to be what, 3 ounces or 4 ounces of alcohol, and you're supposed
that's
to
the
drink
most, yeah.
yeah, and you're supposed to drink it quickly before it gets warm. Well, no, you know, you get these giant glasses, and so that's just what people are expecting, and those are way, you know, way more powerful than my 9% beer. But because there's what, 6-7 ounces of
I think there's like even alcohol. 8-ounce martini glasses.
And yeah. just for a shameless plug for the show, Happy Hour Joby and Curtis, these are the kind of things we talk about all the time on this show. The different pour sizes, the different impacts of, you know, each style of beverage. We like to walk our way through cocktails, wine, beer, how all those things play together, what the industry is up to. So if you want to hear more about some of the topics, some of the wineries and the breweries that Joby and Curtis have featured previously, make sure you go to hopheadset.com and click on the Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis link at the top. You can get all the past shows. And again, follow us at hashtag HH with Joby and Curtis. That's HHW Joby and Curtis. And give us a like at the Facebook page, Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Click the little thumbs up button on the
thumbs
YouTube.
Up.
The thumbs, up.
But my thumb actually curves backwards, so I call it thumbs around.
Thumbs around, whichever way, whatever your thumb does.
Whatever your thumb does.
And
yeah.
wherever
you
put
do
your,
with it.
What, just click on just YouTube, click that up.
I need to mute my mic.
Yeah, right.
Let's push that
we
one.
We need a censored button. Delay.
Delay. So we've got the spirits that can now, you can now taste in there. But
and buy, I think, too, at the on premise.
So, you know, in my circles that I'm following this, it's all on the beer side. Listen, all those seagulls up there.
We're right by the beach.
They want something in your dumpster, I think. But they, so on the beer side, I mean, the beer people are all up in arms with this. And especially the SoCal Homebrew Festival.
Organizers are up in arms, yeah.
And this is a huge festival. It's at least Paso Robles, if not. I mean, we get people south of San Francisco coming to this,
yeah.
and all the way down to San Diego coming up to this.
I think it was like 30 something homebrew clubs.
It's
huge.
It's huge, and so people are upset about that. But one of the things that I totally miss out of it, where people were all upset about this, was that on the plus side was that spirits are now allowed. There's tasting rooms essentially that they're allowed to do the tastings.
Allowed to do tasting, and I believe you're allowed to sell. The booze, let's call it the booze there. You know, that was the funny part was, why can you go into a different place and get a growler of beer, go to a winery, walk out with a case of wine, but go to a liquor place and only be allowed to taste 1/2 ounce of each one, maximum 3, and not even be able to buy a bottle of it? That just seems outrageous.
Right, and unless you're Refined, which is a winery on top of it, then... And you can call your distilled spirits brandy.
Talk about going on the gray area right there. That was
right. So, you know,
brilliant.
then you're out of luck for that, I guess. So, yeah. So we've got a good show coming up.
Yeah,
we're good in the fact that, you know, these are going to be drinks that will smooth your Easter out, definitely, as you're wherever you're at for the Easter egg hunt. These would be good blue drinks to bring in your sippy cup as you're watching your kids.
Perfect.
As you're watching your kids run around. I don't know. I, you know, you didn't do a very good sell on it, the hard sell. So I'm guessing that these are going to be really sweet. And so if you're a sweet cocktail person, you know, stay tuned because I think these are for you. I'll be happy to taste test, certainly. But, you know, I'm not, I'm just thinking of peeps and alcohol. And there's something that disturbs me more about peeps and alcohol than there is about alcohol and Easter.
I think typically it's because of the impact of the sugar and the hangover effect the next day.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah, just like just deep down,
I think genetically. I have a headache just thinking about it.
Well, it's kind of built into the genetic code of us that
it's a little bird that's made out of sugar.
Yeah,
you can put it in the microwave, it expands.
Yeah, I can't put a finger on why this sounds disturbing to me, but that's what it is. It's a genetic code.
You know, well, by default. Sorry, go ahead.
Can you take a peep on a spoon and set it on fire like absinthe and sort of let it like a peep and absinthe.
I'm glad you said absinthe because when you said put a peep on a spoon and light it on fire, immediately I thought of something other.
Well, you
was freebasing the peep.
Sure,
we do have absinthe if you want to try.
No,
well. No, you have American absinthe.
You go ahead.
We talk about the American.
Oh, the real versus American, yes.
We always talk about European beers versus American beers and the difference. Unfortunately, when it comes to absinthe and
the green monster,
we get the opposite. We get the weaker stuff. Over
no,
here.
I see. No. You know what really made people hallucinate on absinthe, right?
Tell me.
Unsanitary distilling conditions. That's all it was.
It was the acetone. It was the, you know, it was the nail polish.
It was the way they didn't know what they were doing.
No sanitizer back then.
Exactly. So
no heads or tails on that. There you go.
They used everything, and so people were going crazy. Yeah. But now with modern technology, you don't go crazy on it.
All right, should we call it a break here, and then we'll get back to what do you have here?
What's going
to
be our first cocktail, Joby?
Oh, man, I'm so looking forward to the Easter basket and the blue cocktail.
The blue cocktail.
No words. We're going to go to a quick break. This is Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. The guys are going to refresh their beers, and I'm going to tell you about a couple of our great sponsors for the show. So stick around for just a couple minutes. You are listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. And as a great adult beverage show, we like to make sure everyone gets home safe at the end of their broadcast. We trust our rides and our people to Weird Driving, based in Oxnard, California. And those people can be located at weirddriving.com. That's weredriving.com. Use them on a great reservation system or impromptu to get yourself home and make sure your car's in the driveway when you're finished. Again, that's Weird Driving, based in Oxnard, California.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Your hosts, Joby and Curtis, tonight are going to lead us through a great show. We are profiling the Easter cocktail show.
420.
So stay tuned. We've got some great hashtags that we can follow the conversation at. Hashtag Easter cocktails. Hashtag HH with Joby and Curtis.
Is that a... sort of whole new element to the hash in hashtag.
I didn't even think about that.
It's the 420 tag.
That's Rick chiming in from the Ghost Voice.
Oregon.
Maybe we should have done a hashtag 420 Easter cocktail just to bring it all together. But now your hosts, after that awesome intro, Joby and Curtis. So.
You know, I think sooner or later people are going to start asking us, where's the 420 part of this? And there's absolutely no 420 enjoyment off camera in between these segments. No.
And if you,
I want to make sure that everyone is aware of that. Hey, do you got anything to eat? I'm kind of hungry.
Like what, brownies?
Yeah, munchies, anything. Anything salty. Okay.
So what do you guys usually do for your Easter drinking enjoyment, let's say? Or you guys brunch? You guys do brunch? What do you guys do usually?
Man, I tell you what. I can't think of any drinking traditions. I'm at a loss. I have Christmas drinking traditions. I have Thanksgiving drinking traditions. I have
New Year's
drinking traditions for everything else. But how have I gone through 42 years and this is the first time that I'm actually going to celebrate Easter with alcohol? I don't know.
So now, when you guys grew up, I mean, what was your? Did you just have dinner or was it was
just
brunch?
It was just a sugar fest.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, yeah, of course you were young. But the parents, I'm thinking, maybe.
Not typically. No. As I've gotten older, our traditions are actually in the mainstream. You know, my mother-in-law loves either the mimosa.
Oh, yeah.
A vodka cranberry, because it ends up kind of a pinkish color.
Well, the cranberry helps with everything else, too.
Yeah, and it kind of
cranberry festive. Masks the fact that you're drinking a vodka.
Exactly. Or her brand new favorite, the ginger bliss.
I'm not familiar with the ginger bliss.
It's a ginger liqueur with a ginger ale, and like there's a like two or three different mixes.
It's like ginger on ginger on ginger?
Yeah, but it's pretty refreshing. It can be a little sweet. You got to get a really fresh and authentic ginger ale, though, not a syrupy.
Ginger beer or ginger ale?
I think ginger beer would be a better option.
Right.
And it can be a really vibrant kind of cocktail. You put a little mint in there at the bottom, you kind of muddle it, and then you shake it all about. I have grown weary of it because we've had it too many holidays in a row.
So it's an all-purpose holiday drink.
It is an all-purpose holiday drink, but it does hold the kind of feeling of Easter. It's got that kind of Sunday morning brunch type of vibrancy.
Are you doing anything here at the restaurant? Do you have?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. we have our usual bottomless mimosas, which are a hit. I mean, you can bring your mother along here.
There you go.
And those are from 11:30 to 3, but seeing as it's 4:20, this presents a unique opportunity this year where Lagunitas said, hey, we have this beer that we only release on 4:20 at 4:20. Would you guys like one of the only kegs? And we said, oh, man, it's Easter, blah, blah, blah. No, yeah, we'll take it. we were sort of at a, like, what do we do? It's Easter Sunday. Are people going to come and drink this 4:20 beer at 4:20 p.m.? But we're going to try it. We're going to see. We're hoping that, you know, people, after they do their brunch festivities, after they go to church or whatever, will come in.
I think they'll come in. They'll want their pint glasses filled. And again, that only keg, that single keg in Ventura County is available at Barrel House 101 at 545 East Thompson Boulevard. This is the place to be if you want to get a little splash of that.
And it's called the Waldo. It used to be called 420. So a funny thing about 420, I didn't realize that somebody has actually copyrighted 420.
You cannot use
it in any for-profit items, because I guess Lagunitas used to put 420 on all their stuff.
How did that?
Somebody got away with it. No one thought of it. Don't be mad because you didn't think of it first.
I'm amazed. I'm not mad at that person. Just like when someone gets a big check in professional sports, like, hey, good for you. You made it happen.
Good for you, buddy.
Who were the dimwits on the the judges panel, the collaboration?
The patent office.
That said, maybe we should let this happen. I think that's a good idea. Yeah, pass it.
Right.
Put approve. Stamp it.
Now, 420 day and all the, like, ways around 420, like, they can't copyright that. You can still do all that.
The interstate.
The Interstate 420, exactly. So I think now at the bottom of the Lagunitas thing, it says 420 miles to Point Reyes, which is probably just a made-up thing. But
well, yeah, I mean, 420 miles to Point Reyes would put you somewhere in the middle of Nevada or Utah. I mean, that's a long ways away. Right.
I see pink peeps on glasses.
Oh, man, this is going to be awesome. I got to make sure I get my camera ready here, my phone ready, because this is The cocktail where we have Lumina preparing for us here.
Yes.
Is Jeppy, tell us what we got going here.
So we're talking about different ones that you know. You said you had the ginger. We're talking about champagne, the Waldo's beer. We have that is awesome. We have the Easter basket that was, I think, chosen by Jason. Actually, I took that from him, and the blue cottontail, which is the other one. These are both vodka based. They're super easy to make at home. You can have, you know, it's vodka, triple sec. I think the blue cocktail has blue curacao. And the Easter basket has vodka, triple sec. Lumina, what else is in the Easter basket? In this one?
Half and half.
Nice and creamy.
And I actually have the recipes up here. Tried to prep myself a little bit of a.
They're both pretty easy, right? You have a cherry vodka in one of them.
So I pan down the camera so you can see on the table what Lumina's prepping. The glasses with the pink peeps are going to be the Easter basket.
Look at this poor guy right here. He's hanging down like.
They have 1.5 ounces of cherry vodka, 1/2 ounce of triple sec, 3 ounces of half and half or milk, a dash of grenadine. You can rim the glass with some green cocktail or some coconut.
We just did toast the coconut. We didn't have green food coloring, but.
And then you shake it up and you pour it in. Yes. I had a recommendation today, too, that if you want to spice it up, you want to take it up to a more sophisticated level, instead of using triple sec. Yeah. Okay. Instead of triple sec, use Cointreau.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's fancy.
The other glass that's going to be filled, which is not quite ready yet, it will be the blue cocktail.
Right.
And that has 1.5 ounces of vodka, 1/2 ounce of triple sec, 1/4 ounce of blue curacao. Ready for my drink, I guess. And a little orange peel for garnish. We'll probably put a little zest in there, too, just for some vibrancy.
Right. So it's essentially just a citrusy vodka drink. I mean, not so different than like a Cosmopolitan, just missing the cranberry juice.
So
if you don't have your own bartender at home, like we do.
Back up just a little bit, Lumina.
You put everything in a shaker.
Back up just a tiny bit. There you go. Perfect.
Based on the shot we just had a second ago, $20 an hour is appropriate.
That's appropriate. So if you don't have your own bartender, you have to put everything into, hopefully you have your own mixing glass and shaker.
And so Lumina's been on the show before, and one of the things we've talked about too is a quality bartender enjoys all of the shaking, the muddling,
the
and
show.
All that.
It's kind of a shake weight.
The show about it. And what
it's
happens.
It's kind of like shake weight.
And what happens to shake weight. And what and one of the great things about it
oh,
is.
Oh, wow. That is nice and pink.
Is when people see.
We've got a bird down.
When people see the show, they want the drink.
We got Lumina's hair right in the shot. We haven't even had the cocktails yet. We're already going downhill.
I know everybody's excited about this pink cocktail right here.
I gotta tell you, I'm intrigued by the. By the coconut. I've not seen coconut rim a glass. I've not seen a peep rim a
glass
glass
either, right? Well, there you go.
I'm actually kind of horrified by that.
All right.
Enjoy, guys.
Thank you so much, Lumina.
All right. Joby, you're in camera right now. Make sure you extend that peep a little bit. Give people another good perspective on what that glass is entailing.
This is the first time I've ever had a drink with a peep on it. I just want to say that. Oh, peep there down. So I just want to tell you guys, it is very hard to keep the peep on the glass. The martini glass would probably be... Now, we should say these should be served up in a martini glass. We've got them in rocks glasses just because we're trying it out.
Because we split this all up. So we were talking about serving size. Lumina, did you double up this for all four of us, or is this... one drink for everyone.
Woo.
All right. So as everyone... I'm sorry, go ahead.
So you're saying that on the recipe it asks for a dash.
You didn't get the flavor, the cherry flavor, so I had to add.
Okay, so the dash of grenadine that you added initially was not quite enough, and you'd recommend doing a secondary dash, or maybe even three if you want some more cherry flavor in there.
So oddly enough, it smells like you're at the beach. You got that coconut, that tropical.
It does have kind of a suntan lotion.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
It.
But yet it also has. You know what it reminds me?
I already took it.
You already said that. I'm still
sorry. I didn't clean because my peep was in the way. But Curtis, let's take it down a notch.
No.
As a Cicerone, you're trained in the ways of understanding the layers of a beer, what the characteristics should be. When you evaluate this glass, this liqueur, this cocktail mix, are there any layers for you?
I appreciated the slight tart. So I must have missed something along the way. Is there a lemon sugar or something?
There's a cherry vodka, triple sec, or Cointreau if you want to be fancy, orange liqueur, grenadine, and cream, some kind of cream.
It's actually tastier than I expected.
It's actually not bad. I really don't want to admit it, but
I think the coconut, the fruitiness, is what turns us off with the peeps.
Why am I getting a little bit of salt? Is it the beer that I had?
It may be the barley wine.
Or is it the is there something in the coconut that's making that seem...
It might have been your nervousness coming on the show, your sweat dribbling down your brow.
Yeah, maybe it's so sweet that the coconut seems like it's balancing it out.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and do what you guys haven't done, is dunk my peep in the drink.
You know what, actually...
I did take a bite of the peep.
Okay.
Lumina, when you rim these glasses, did you do a little touch like a lemon juice?
Yeah. That is so sweet.
Okay, so that may be, Rick,
that's where I'm getting it, too.
Yeah, the lemon juice. So when she... In order to get the coconut to stick to the rim of the glass, she touched it into like a lemon juice mixture.
Okay.
That's probably where you're getting some of it. But Curtis, I want to tell you, this takes me back to childhood a little bit. When the ice cream man came around with the truck, the Pink Panther.
Strawberry shortcake.
Or the strawberry shortcake.
Yes.
As they melted. This is exactly like those
the
two.
The Pink Panther.
Yeah.
For the boys, it was Pink Panther because, you know, there's
the gumball
everything.
Eye.
Everything masculine about it.
This reminds
a
me
Pink
exactly
Panther.
Of those.
Oh yeah, it's very masculine. Pink Panther.
Because I don't want that. I'm definitely not going to eat the strawberry shortcake.
No, strawberry shortcake. No,
we're not well, that's a whole different show. We'll talk about that later.
Now,
the lemon.
I can appreciate this. I would not drink this. I'm just. I mean, none of us would. I think.
What I really like about it is, and I'm kind
Curtis
of working.
Curtis finishes, by the way.
I'm working. Well, I'm working my way around the rim.
Let me tell you,
I'm working my way around the rim, and it's the lemon juice or whatever it was.
It actually adds a nice touch to it, though.
It does. It helps to balance it out.
All right, Lumina, are you ready for the blue cottontail? Okay, and I said that Tiffany had to drink this. She's probably gonna like it. I already ate the peep. Sorry.
Peep-free.
The peep was delicious. Dug in the.
There is something fundamentally wrong about somebody announcing on a podcast that they're sticking their peep in a drink.
Rick's been quiet for 5 minutes. Throws a zinger.
He was waiting.
That's a.
Thing.
Yeah, those will.
Okay, now this is very blue.
Okay, so I want to. You know what? I did not get a picture of that first one, so I got to make sure I want to get a picture of this one.
Gonna get the orange. You got to put the orange peel, right?
Okay. So, Joby, tell
this
us
is very. I mean, let's. If you think
tell
about
us about it, for, this one again, real quick.
For a party at your house, it'd be very festive. I mean, look at that color. It's, oh yeah, it's really nice. This is essentially just a. It's like a cosmopolitan without cranberry. I mean, it's vodka, triple sec, and blue curacao. So, two citrusy things, and then the regular vodka to balance it out. I mean, it's really, really citrusy. And the color is beautiful.
So
here comes the garnish.
You know, I've seen the curacao.
Curacao.
Curacao. I've seen that as an ingredient, I haven't had the opportunity to use it before, so I didn't know necessarily what it was.
It is actually, if you know what it is, you'll kind of laugh. It's triple sec with blue coloring.
it really doesn't offer anything except
it's
the
really
coloring.
Nothing but the color. It's very funny. Yeah. And when you learn it, you're like, really? That's what it is? And it's colored triple sec.
Yeah.
It works.
Oh, if it works for you. So this is the blue cottontail, I believe?
The blue cottontail, yes.
Blue cottontail. And what should we expect from this?
Citrus is what we should expect.
Citrus all the way around. It's the blue coloring that's going to throw us off. Is that what it is?
The blue coloring is going to throw you off, but the taste is going to be all citrus. He's remembering some old memories. Just came back. Kamikaze
now
shots.
the aroma.
I'm just smelling the orange on my garnish.
There's
that's what
so
I smell.
Much, but the way the orange is interacting with the other ingredients, for me, it's got almost an aftershave kind of nose.
You're just it's the Burma shave.
Is that blue velvet?
Aquavelva.
Aquavelva.
It's very similar. Like
Aquavelva. Or that stuff that they sanitize your combs in at the barbersaw.
Or, oh my God, it's the urinal puck. The old school blue urinal pucks.
I've never actually tasted one of those.
No,
but
you smell. It smells just like walking into a fresh bathroom, freshly clean urinal.
I've never really, I don't know if I could say that I've walked into a freshly clean urinal.
Oh, you need to seek
now,
out better
it's safe
bathrooms.
To say that it doesn't taste like a freshly clean urinal. It doesn't taste like it.
No. What's the opposite of that?
I don't know.
Because that's what you're going for.
Curtis, we're not going to like. Rick's not going anywhere. We're going to keep him for more shows.
I think we could certainly find a spot for him. It's the blue. It's changing.
I believe this would be called a chick drink.
So this is, would you say, a Cosmo without the what?
Without the cranberry, that's all.
So the cranberry would add.
It could use the cranberry.
It would change the whole color. Probably be purple if you put
the balancing sort of. Yeah, this is definitely a sweet.
But it doesn't.
This might be better as a shot.
It dissipates really quickly, though. It's pretty thin on the back end. There's not a lot of flavor identification. I think you're right. As far as a shot.
This would be a good shot.
It's got a front end flavor right on the tip of your tongue
just
and then
take
gone.
It. Yeah. I don't know about it as a martini, but then again, we're not the prime demographic for this drink either. So,
no, when I see something like this in a martini glass, I always think of Scrubs and the main character there who always his thing was the apple teeny, And so if you're that kind of person that likes it, not that there's anything wrong with that, then this would be a drink I think that you would probably enjoy.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, you would impress a lot of people at your house if you made this.
Well, especially
a lot of the ladies at your house.
Sort of a New Year's Eve kind of a thing. That would work.
Yeah, and people would be like, wow, what is that? And you're like, oh, man, this is a crazy drink, blue cottontail.
It's a crazy drink.
It's so hard to make. And then you got four ingredients and a shaker, and you're three, actually. So it's, you know, triple sec, blue croissant, and vodka.
Hey, it's provocative. It gets the people going.
And that's it. It will get everyone going. Although, I mean, as much as I was talking about how...
Chris, you enjoyed both of them.
I guess I wasn't railing against it too bad. I did finish them, but
I do want to get some additional feedback though on other cocktails, because we talked about pre-show, off camera, some of the things that some people may present at their parties.
Right.
And if you go to yumsugar.com, that's one of the places where I did a little research.
My favorite site.
There's a lot of do a search for Easter cocktails. Yumsugar.com is one.
Is that
of
a Japanese? That's right next to Hello Kitty. Is that
you know, Hello Kitty. I've got a tattoo somewhere. But they've got some really interesting ideas. I didn't pick most of them because they weren't distinct enough for the holiday. But I do want to get your take on some of the cocktails that they're presenting. Right at the top of the list, Pimm's Cup. And a Pimm's Cup...
That works.
It's classic. But does that elicit kind of an Easter feeling?
Curtis name checked me on this drink. I'm sorry. Curtis name-checked me on that drink in one of your very earlier shows. And I think...
Lumina made it for us, actually.
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
It's a Pimm's Cup.
And I think that's sort of a spring thing. I was sort of thinking about that, that a Pimm's Cup sitting on the back patio.
Yep.
One of my favorite summer drinks that my wife and I started... with last week because the sun came out was gin lemonade. I'm not a tonic drinker, so I like a lemonade. It sort of brightens it up and those spring drinks. So I mean, the last several years for Easter, what I celebrated with was by shoveling the driveway. I'm really happy to be
here. Oh, that's right. You live in Oregon.
So, I live in Oregon now. And so,
and before that,
so I'm on the patio, Joby.
Gotcha.
And loving it.
That's awesome.
The Pimm's Cup, I don't, only because the first time I had it was when Rick made that drink for me, was the middle of summer, and in South Dakota, where we were both living at the time, it was 98% humidity, and it was probably 102 degrees outside too, so it was miserable, and it was the perfect accompaniment to. Not accompaniment, but just weapon against the heat, and having the orange, the cucumber, all of that stuff was, and then.
When you're alluding to some great, again, springtime flavors, if you go to bonappetit.com, their recipe for the Pimm's Cup is English cucumber, Pimm's number one, Meyer lemon juice, sugar, ice cubes, rosemary, thyme, and mint. Muddle those together with lemon slices.
Gourmet version.
They actually also add in strawberries and ginger beer, so you can really get into a kind of, like you said, an upscale
style
Pimm's
Cup. That's
upscale Pimm's Cup. But at the very base, Pimm's as kind of liquor, the liqueur in that drink, is a gin-based liquor made in England. And it has all the things you're talking about. There's juices, there's spices that are in there, just in it, you know, its own creation. And then you add in all these great vibrant flavors and colors with the fruit and the vegetables. It makes sense as a springtime drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's considered a classic cocktail, so if you are into the nostalgia aspect as well, this is a drink that you can go with.
Yeah.
A couple other recipes that they're on there, though. Bloody Mary is considered a staple.
I'm a Bloody Mary. I can do that anytime. I'm in.
And I think the reason, Curtis, you'll probably agree.
You do not like Bloody Marys, right?
Well, no, actually, you know, Bloody Mary was the first time that I actually enjoyed.
I can do a Bloody Mary any holiday.
Because everyone says they have the best Bloody Mary, and for me, they all suck. And I know that Rick has made me some, and I have not appreciated his. But what I liked about what it was about yours was that so many people add so much spice to it and heat, and they just but as an Easter drink, I think the Bloody Mary is
Definitely Easter morning.
Yeah, yeah, apparently there's a religious element to Easter also.
I guess so.
Who knew?
Oh, wait, that's what this Sunday is?
Wait, there's religiousness with this? What? I'm kind of surprised by the Bloody Mary, just because I think it's
a brunch
every day.
It's typically a brunch style drink.
It's a brunch style drink.
And Easter is often a 10 a.m. and later style gathering. People get together and they want to do a more brunch style. They do eggs and lamb, and they do all these, you know, fruit bowls, and it's something that is bridging the gap between breakfast morning when people are getting up and their kids are running around crazy with, you know, candies and
with the Easter bunny, who's very religious, right?
Yeah, very religious. Although, if you look back in history, the rabbit image and the kind of focus of the rabbit is all about fertility and coming into the springtime. So it does have roots.
Well, we know rabbits. They
run. Yes, sir.
That's not a stretch.
I remember that in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I thought it was violence that the rabbit was representing.
The killer rabbit.
Right.
But as another great brunch time drink that I would like to get your feedback on is the gin fizz.
This is a classic.
And the Ramos,
it's definitely
gin
a classic
fizz
cocktail.
A specific one, the Ramos gin fizz. Gin fizz is gin, lemon or lime juice, superfine sugar, and soda water, maybe with a maraschino cherry for garnish. You shake it up and you pour it into a glass with ice. Gin fizz.
There's no egg white in a gin fizz?
Not the recipes I've been looking at.
I thought there was
originally egg white. There was, and I think that's become one of those sanitary things, like, oh, you can't put an egg in the gin fizz. But I think originally had a raw egg in it. And that's what I think.
No?
I think.
Yeah,
I think that's what's turned off a lot of people to that drink.
But. Yeah, and I'm not one for adding refined sugar to my gin. I mean, I like my gin. Mm-hmm. And I like a tonic or the fizz. I mean, there's enough sugar in the
But I could be wrong.
The drink.
No, I'm not an expert either. However, I would say, city-wise, one of the cities I've been exposed to, I think it's doing classic cocktails and almost a prohibition style. The best from some of my travels is San Francisco.
Right.
I've been to a couple of speakeasy styles and one just wide open restaurant bar called Bar Agricole, AGRICOLE. They do beautiful, finely crafted classic cocktails. They have all the natural and fresh ingredients, organic ingredients out on the counter. Mm-hmm. You can watch the bartenders making those cocktails in front of you. You know what's going into it. And they do use egg whites. They do froth. And
I think that's where you get the froth from. Is the
a lot
white.
Of times.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, everyone's scared of using, you know, raw egg. And you have to put a warning on your menu.
Now, to backtrack a little bit, doesn't Orange Julius have egg in it?
I believe so. And that's okay, the same concept, right?
Right. Yeah, because that's where you get all the frothy texture from.
But you going back to the Pimm's Cup and then kind of going to the gin fizz and that, do you guys make your Pimm's in a pitcher? Because that's one of the things I like about the Pimm's Cup is
you make in volume.
You make that volume and you just put it down. You have that. You just have your conversation and relax. It's one of those like patio. I'm a fan for the holidays of the pitcher cocktails, something that you can make in a large batch. You don't have to. I mean, it's fun to make the individual cocktail, but if you've got a couple of people.
No, I think that's a great way to go. Again, with the brunch style, you're usually bringing in a large family numbers.
Yeah.
The sangria is going to be an awesome alternative to that. You take some wine. It doesn't have to be great high-end wine.
Nope. Cheaper the better, actually.
Yeah, the cheaper the better, because you're going to muddle it with a lot of great fruit, and you let it sit for a couple hours in the pitcher before your guests arrive, and you've got a beautiful springtime drink. However, knowing your roots and your love, Curtis, off the cuff, give us some great beers, some Easter springtime beers.
You know, if you can find the Maybach and you've got a Maybach here, I mean, that is what it was brewed for.
Yeah,
it was for this. It's a lighter, hoppier version of a Bach, and throw out what you think about Bachs. You know, we've all had the Celebrator, the Dominator, the
Optimator.
Know, Optimator.
All the Maters.
Everything from...
What does Hellmater mean anyways?
The Alma Mater.
The Alma Mater.
Right.
And all the way from, you know, so throw out those, the multi ideas of those.
Yeah, it's the total opposite.
And go light and hop crisp. There's still plenty of malt sweetness, but it's a much more balanced beer than the regular box that you're thinking about that you would start drinking from November to February kind of.
What
thing.
Do you think about whites?
Yep.
And wits
work very well,
especially like an Omegon or an Allagash white.
St. Bernardus that we had at the beer breakfast.
St. Bernardus.
The Ahoy Garden. Really nice.
I like the way you pronounce that, too.
If you're looking at light and fresh beers, it's different here, I think, in Southern California. And you know, I did a whole month of heavy holiday beers in December. And when January first hit, the first thing I wanted was a double IPA. I wanted something that just hop and malt and everything else.
Yeah.
Because I was tired of the sweet and the spices. And I don't remember feeling that necessarily when I was in South Dakota because it was still cold. And there's still a general... The weather plays a big role in that. And so while we're here, I've been drinking light spring-style beers for a couple months already.
Right.
And just enjoying it. So I get caught up in trying to say what's a spring beer, what's a winter beer. But I think anything that's light and refreshing. And a Saison right now would be a really nice...
Well, historically, Saison would be what you'd be drinking right now.
Sure.
And wits, Saisons.
That was going to be my follow-up, too.
I love Saisons.
Farmhouse and a Saison. However, you know, Rick, you were talking earlier about the ingredients, the layers that are in a Pimm's cup, and cucumber is one of them that we focus mm-hmm. on. I understand from a couple homebrewing friends that cucumber beers, or cucumber Saisons specifically, are on the rise right now. People are starting to use cucumber in their actual brewing process and brewing.
The only one I've ever heard of is Cigar City. They have a cucumber... Saison, I believe.
Yeah, I was just pouring at a beer festival up in Oregon for Flat Tail Brewing out of Corvallis. And they've got a beer called El Guapo. It is a chili beer with cucumber juice in it. Really, really, I told Curtis today, I'm not a chili beer fan. This was really beautiful because it really, the cucumber juice played off the chili, and it was unbelievably refreshing.
That's a big dish down here is cucumber with lemon and chili.
Yep.
Yeah, fruit, for that matter. Hmm. You know, very Mexican-style dish.
For those who are listening at home, too, I think this is a theme that we're really gravitating towards for Easter drinks. I mean, we talked about the Easter cocktail show,
right.
But we're creating a broad spectrum of opportunity right now. The refreshing component has got to be key. We're moving into spring. We've got, you know, all these great fresh ingredients. We're talking about cucumber and chilies. The vibrancy of any beverage is what's going to have to play, because a lot of times, historically, you're going to have rich dishes. You're going to have thick casseroles and egg bakes, and you're going to have spiced lamb, and you're going to have salty cured hams. You want something that's going to cut through some of those foods, and not to take us too far down the culinary component, but I think that's what we're seeing when we look down the list a lot of times when we do a search for Easter cocktails. Most of them are full of fruit or vegetable vibrancy that cut through a richness.
Right. And why not have multi-course? It's like you have a multi-course meal. Why not have your beers like that? Your first beer when you sit down or when you arrive at the house, a wit or a saison as you welcome people, move into something like a Maybach.
That's just crazy. How can you
I don't know.
Put forward a thought like that? That is...
That's ridiculous, right?
I know.
It's crazy.
Just something.
And then maybe a stout for after dinner for dessert?
No. Let's go bourbon. Let's go bourbon stout.
Okay, fine. Bourbon stout. But, I mean, you can do that. You know, and that may be hard when you have like a random party or just a gathering. But if you had something where you had like 10 or 12 people for dinner or for lunch, you could totally do that. I mean, when we did the beer breakfast, it kind of went like that. It was a wit, and then we had
a Saison.
A Saison, a Flanders Red.
Where did we go? Oh, the Strong Dark. And I'm missing one. Oh, we did
We had a Saison.
The Golden.
The golden strong.
So we had a Dark Strong.
So we kind of coursed it like that. You could do the same for your party, and you probably look like a really big hero, too. Like, wow.
People would love you.
You're amazing.
You didn't have an oatmeal stout with the...
Well, it was a Belgian beer.
So we were doing, it was Belgian
stuff.
So
there can be another beer breakfast?
Oh, there can be many more.
I would, I'd like to come to Barrel House 101 for one of those.
Right. Well, we had Lucifer as the Golden Strong. Trois Pistoles as our dark, and the Opal. And the Opal is almost the perfect sort of spring drink. So not only is it's light and crisp, but then the hop aroma,
the dry
because
hop,
it's a dry hop. Saison, which is I've never heard of it until that point.
That's why we do crazy stuff here in America. We dry hop saisons. But speaking of hops, another great spring beers right now, the ones I'm seeing are the Session IPAs, which I'm really digging. There's a few. There's been some really weird and bad kind of obscure ones, but the two that come to mind are the Easy Jack from Firestone and the Stone Go-To IPA with that Citra hop. So you're there. It's the afternoon. You want to drink a bunch of IPAs, but you know you don't want to be hammered right away. These are these really good, like 4.5 to 5% session IPAs. Used to be called a pale ale, but
the extra
totally, yeah, extra pale ale. But no one liked that word, so they've kind of changed that.
Well, and I think a sessionable IPA is a better term for it too. You know, XPA was minus all of the malt and plus all of the hops of an IPA.
Yeah, well, you didn't know which way does it mean. Is it extra light or is it extra hoppy? You didn't know which way the extra.
Well, it's tough. I recently opened a couple of cans of a session IPA from Kelly's Brew Pub in Albuquerque. My brother and his wife lived there, and they sent some over. And it was pretty thin initially. Great aroma, but on the palate, it was really thin, almost like a lager, until it started to warm up. And then you got a little more of an IPA reflection, and you got some more hop bitterness and flavor versus the aroma. So it's still, I think, being tweaked. A lot of breweries are new to that kind of concept, and it's tough to create a sessionable IPA with great hop aroma and flavor without it being bitter.
But that's why I think those two are the best examples right now.
Well, and I'm looking forward. I haven't had tasted the Easy Jack yet, and I'm looking forward to that. I mean, just to round out Easy Jack,
Union Jack, Double Jack, Wookie Jack.
So, I mean, if you've had any of these other ones, you kind of have to make your trip through those. So, you know, we're coming up on just about a minute before we want to close out the segment.
I've got a special last call beer for everybody.
Oh,
do we?
Fabulous.
I don't know about you guys, but I think we've talked so much about Maibock and the Wits, though. You've got the Bear Republic Maibock and the St. Bernardus on the menu. Maybe for a quick 10-minute segment, we should sample those and give our reflection on whether or not we think that's a great Easter beer and then do a last call. Would you like to drink some more, Curtis?
No. Of course I would. What kind of question What kind of question?
Yeah, we'll happy come back hour and taste all.
So let's take a quick break. This is Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. We're going to come on a 5-minute break, and then we'll be back with some Maibock and some Wits for you to join along in the fun with. This is the Easter Cocktail Show. Stay tuned. It's last call, everyone. This is Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. We are about to go into the last call of the night. We've got a few beers that Joby and Curtis are going to walk us through. We've been talking Easter cocktails tonight. Remember to go to the Facebook page for Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis and give them a like. And use hashtag Easter cocktails for tonight or hashtag HH with Joby and Curtis. HHW Joby and Curtis to follow the conversation. All things adult beverage. And now your hosts, Joby and Curtis.
Hello.
Curtis.
So before, you know, if you're listening to this on podcast through iTunes, you know, you're not seeing any of the sponsorship banners. And certainly Last Call is always brought to you by WeDriving.com or WeDriving, designated driving service. Just a driving service in general. So whatever you need, if you need a ride to a Dodger game, if you need ride home because you've had too much fun listening to Happy Hour, that's, in fact, I just got a confirmation text saying that I was going to be picked up at 10 o'clock. So, Rick,
well,
you and I.
We have plenty of time.
Rick, you and I, we've got ourselves some time.
It's a nice long last call.
Will they drive you to Oregon?
It is on.
I'm just wondering.
Israel.
Has he ever gone that far?
He would do that, but it would cost.
The meter would be running, my friend. Again, that's Weird Driving in Oxnard, California. Go to Weird Driving, WERE Driving.com.
So leading up into
you gotta say that slower. It sounded like Weird Driving.
W-E-R-E.
And I've heard this commercial so many times. I know what a good group this is, and we don't want people to get the wrong idea.
Right.
W-E-R-E. Driving.com.
And I'm looking forward to it because I always get Josh, and Josh knows me, and he knows my way home, and we just have
we have great conversations.
We do, because I'm a drunk guy, and he goes, so what kind of beers are you drinking lately? And I just go on and on and on for the 15 miles home. So
they're on the fringe of being pen pals.
Yeah, pen pals.
Well, that was one of the fun things. Like, we came home from Moore Park Beer Fest, and it was me and Drew and Tiffany, and we had a whole conversation on the way. It was 40 minutes of good conversation, at least for us.
Yeah, it works out.
I don't know about him.
Well, probably like, God, I just got to get these guys home.
God, these guys are drunk.
Let's get them home. So we've got three beers lined up in front of us. Right. We've got the St. Bernard's. We've got the Bear Republic Maybach. And then I'm going to let you introduce that next one when we get to
okay,
it.
Okay, so we'll how do about, the two spring beers
because we're talking about spring beers and a wit, you know, and in here it's almost always springtime, it seems like. I mean,
yeah, especially unless
it's October. October and September, or September and October,
right,
are generally the summertime.
Right.
But otherwise, it's always springtime. So a wit with the fresh fruit that we have, whether it's raspberries or strawberries, raspberries are my particular favorite around here. It's a fantastic a pairing. And so if you're close to California and you can get your hands on some Driscoll strawberries or raspberries, because that's what's the big company,
the local
around
guys,
here.
Yep.
Yeah, then certainly do that.
Yeah. Now, Driscoll is not a sponsor yet.
No, not yet. But
we're working on it.
All right.
It was a nice lead in.
What do you say to people, Curtis, that say, well, you say, hey, would you like a wit? And they say, I don't like Hefeweizen. No, seriously. I mean, this
well, yeah, you know, because
the misunderstood category, I believe.
It is a misunderstood, and there is certainly. They're very closely related.
Of course.
You know, the wit, it comes down to what the yeast that was
the
used.
The yeast, yeah.
And so...
No banana in this.
No banana.
Which is a German half.
Right. But there is, you know, there is a nice clove.
Coriander.
Clove and coriander. A real fresh and refreshing kinds of flavors.
A little bit almost like an anise or like a licorice.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if you're doing fruit with... We've done this several times, you know, of fruit throwing in with the wheat beers and maybe even just a little bit of whipped cream. That goes really well with the Hefeweizens too, but it all kind of blends together.
Yeah. Now, you could actually do, I don't know what the proper word is it, a beer mosa? I don't know. I don't want to make up something here, but you can do a mimosa with these. I know that sounds weird, but orange juice, like a fresh piece of orange juice, just a little bit.
Well,
I'm not usually a fan of putting fruit in my beer, but... If somebody wanted to do mimosa, it actually works really well with the Belgian wit.
Well, and so you're hitting on some good things, too. The major differences between a Hefeweizen and a wit is that the coriander and the bitter orange peel that are put into that, and the marketing geniuses at Miller, Sab Miller, would have you believe that you should have a piece of citrus in there, whether it's an orange or a lemon, whatever right. it is. And those flavors go really well with it. I prefer not to do it because I think right. that if the brewer wanted the lemon in it, they would put the lemon or the orange peel in it. So, right. so that you know, it's the beer geeky snob part of me that doesn't want when it comes to me with a with that on there, and it wasn't asked that, do you want the lemon wedge right. or the orange? Then I take personal offense to it.
Right. Well, we find consumers find personal offense when it's not on there.
Well, because everyone's been trained.
Hey, wait, where's my orange?
You know, yeah, they've been trained to it, and so you know the. Whatever you want to do with it. It's a good compliment to it.
It's a good compliment, and it's a good introduction or gateway. Let's say if you're having people over and they don't really, you're like, hey, you know what? Here, try this. Put an orange in it. You know, it's okay.
Well, and I think too, if you're a Blue Moon drinker, you know that is. I've had plenty of those of their versions from pumpkin to whatever their seasonals are.
Have you had the pretzel one? That's the newest one. I'm not kidding.
No, I have not had the pretzel one. And you know, I'm fine drinking it. You know, that's I can drink it. But when you go to something like the St. Bernard's Wit, which is this classic example, it's just a wonderful flavor melding of everything. And I really appreciate St. Bernard's in general, anyway.
Yes.
And so I would rather support a Belgian brewery than I guess an international conglomerate
right.
that owns everything else.
Right. Right. And then the next one is very appropriate for right now, for April going into May, right?
Right. The Maybach.
The Maybach. And, you know, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was brewed to celebrate the beginning of the growing season, right? So we're going into May. It's spring. Things are changing. The sun is out. You need something lighter. They're getting away from the box and the stuff that they were drinking during the winter, and probably getting away from some of the Lent beers that they were drinking. some of the bready.
The double box.
The double box.
Mm-hmm. Well, so one of the first my box I had was actually from Capital C Brewing, Wisconsin, right?
Madison.
And so they made one, and then also Summit Brewing. Both of these, you know, upper Midwest breweries that were making these. And so I was introduced to these fairly early on because they were these maltier beers. You know, these are characterized by a nice hop presence and kind of crisp and clean, but there's also a nice balancing hop sweetness with them, whereas the box are just total just malt bombs. And so it's been a long time since I've had one, since I've moved out here at the very least, if not longer, because those were the two that were my go-tos that would show up in the March, April, May range, and then they're just gone.
Oh, and it goes back to the fact that, well, first of all, we don't have seasons here. And that's fine. I'm fine with it. That's why I live here.
And it's March.
Yeah, we have, I think, March and then the rest of the year.
Right.
But we don't have those traditions, and that goes back to that. Whereas, like, you know, Andy was telling us about the brew pub that he worked at, that it was a big deal when this beer, you know, when their Maibock came out, it was a huge deal. And they made a big thing about it, and it was packed, and everybody got, you know, pints of it. And so they were probably celebrating the fact that the sun finally came out and the snow was melting.
Well, and it's they're still fighting. It's one of those miserable winters right. in Minnesota. And so
this year for sure.
And having lived in the upper Midwest for many years, we had seasons. And
four of them, or two? Well, how many?
No, there were
17, and
because mosquitoes,
most of them were winter,
right? and mosquitoes are a season.
But one of the really great experiences, beer experiences I had was at a Bockfest in Omaha, and if you've never had this experience, really brilliant. I mean, there's 20, 30 different kind of Bock beers there, and they did the branding of the Bock, and what this is a steel poker. That's in a fire, and there's a,
who is the sorry bastard that had to stand?
I'm in already.
There is a barrel of Bock, and they take the red hot steel poker and put it into the Bock, and it's the branding of the Bock, and it gives it an entirely this really toasted flavor,
right? Because it'll caramelize all those sugars,
and it's nice. Really a highlight of the event.
Nice.
And then at the end of the event, they introduce the Maibock, and for those of you who've never experienced seasons, that was a really great tradition.
I would love to. I remember you telling me about that. I totally forgot that they stick this poker in there and it caramelizes the sugars
it's
all the way around.
It's white hot, and it just. I mean, it's like some Frankenstein experiment when they stick it in there.
So it should be known that. The three of you guys are from places that have seasons,
and I have not.
I've been here all my life. So.
Yeah, the Midwest and the Plain States get deep seasons.
So you guys are all telling these stories, and you feel it. You guys have been there.
We feel it deep inside,
I don't feel your pain,
and none of us want to go back. You know, you notice none of us are saying, "Thinking, this was a great experience to be there," but none of us are saying,
"You're talking about beers and stuff, and that's fine." Yeah, but nobody's saying, "I miss."
I should go back there next minute.
No, I'm glad I did that. I hope somebody sends me a video.
I miss family, friends, colored leaves, but not salted roads or slushy snow or freezing windshields. None of that.
Yeah, right. No. Now, Curtis, if I close my eyes and I smell the Maibock, you don't have any more, but close your eyes and smell. You think, I mean, it's definitely, you can smell, it's a Bock. It's a malty, the color kind of throws you off to the smell.
It's all Bock malt tones. And then you get a nice crisp pop flavor.
And the mouthfeel is really light and refreshing.
And different places will make it differently. Curtis and I, you know, one of the places we had a whole lot of beer was a place called Granite City in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And they make four regular beers, a few seasonals. And one of their regular beers is a Maibock. They make it year-round,
nice.
And it's opaque. It's almost black.
So there's no way. Mm-hmm. There's no wrong way to make a Maibock.
I'm
sure there's a guideline. Of course, it's German beer, so there has to be some sort of guideline.
There's guidelines, but as with any, there's a wide range of what you can
interpretations,
do with it. Right? Yeah. Definitely,
especially in America. I mean, this is not a German one. This is from Beer Republic, who makes lots of hoppy beers. So,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting that they do make this. I mean, they make all these They have this series of keg only stuff where they make these just like obscure ones.
Well, and the fact that a Bock has to be lagered, and so right. I mean you have to use a lager yeast, and so any brewery that's doing it has to have the space in order to let that sit for at least 30 days. Generally, I know there's some people, some beer experts who think that it only takes about 10 to 15 days to do a lager. Right. For the most part, people aren't doing that. They're letting it age for 30 days, which is a big commitment on a brewery. You know, you've got 350 gallons, 600 gallons, 1,100 gallons, whatever it is, and you're just letting it sit there. That's not making any money for you. So it's a big commitment when they do that. And it's worthy of a brand, a Red Hot Poker and celebration right. and everything else. Because it's a special kind of beer.
Yeah.
And even, you know, we were looking at some Facebook photos of, and the Surf Brew Crew is out here. You know, we had Chaz on, and he talked about how he really enjoyed doing, it was the Vienna Lager.
They make two fantastic lagers, the Pilsner and the lager they make.
And they just can't do
they
it.
They just don't have the space. They don't have the right. Amazing beers.
And how that those are worthy of a celebration, even though it may be at 5.5%. But to pull something cold, fermented, and lagered that long, and to have it come out crisp and just beautiful is a marvelous thing.
You're talking about celebrations and special beers. Before we get into this next one, again, just a quick reminder that everyone's listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Go to the Facebook page, give us a like, and follow our shows. You get all the past shows at hopheadsaid.com/happyhour with Joby and Curtis. There's a couple of dashes in there. There's a link at the front page. Go to hopheadsaid.com. You're going to find all you need in regards to beer information. Curtis, as a Cicerone, gives you all kinds of cool intellectual property about beers and the brewing process. But again, all the past shows for Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis are there. Joby, as the last call of any Happy Hour show, we usually showcase something unique and delicious and or rare. You are filling all those with this bottle.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I was telling you guys off the air that this is one of the first sour red ales I had when I didn't even know what the hell that meant. And I had no idea. It was my cousin and I, we got in a case of it at OBC and we opened it and we're like, what the hell is this? You know, and I haven't had it in that much time, which is like 7 years now, and then I found it. So I said, now that I know and now that I understand what the hell is going on, I wanted to go back and visit it with you guys. So this is a oak aged sour red ale, but it comes from Italy, which is the most obscure place you would think of.
I know. Yeah. Italian. Northern Italy.
Okay. And it is 3 months, I believe, in cognac barrels, and then it's reefers, it's triple fermented. Not like Miller, where it's triple hops. It's like really, really triple fermented. So it's an oak-aged Flanders red style beer. And it's kind of fun now that I've gotten really into sours in the last few years to go back and visit this one again.
I have not had a taste of it yet. I certainly want to cheers.
Cheers.
To everyone.
Cheers to our special guest.
There you go.
Jason.
From across the room.
One of my favorite styles. So I've got double IPAs, and then I have Saisons, and then I have Flanders Red.
I tell you, in the nose, though, it's got a little bit of a savoriness. It's got a little bit of a meatiness, like fresh beef.
There is, yeah.
And you'll find that it's actually quite dry and not so sweet when you drink it.
So the very first Flanders Red Brown, you know, whatever New Belgium is calling theirs, La Folie. The first time I had that,
so good.
It was early on in my home brewing. I mean, we're talking probably 96 or 7. The first time I had it, I couldn't drink it. I had to give it back to the guy who gave it to me. And it was like, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I really want to, but I can't. And then Rick and I have had this many times after that. And La Folie for me is one of those just over the top Flanders red.
It's a caricature of that's what we said last time.
Absolutely, definitely.
It's a caricature of what a Flanders red would be.
Right.
This
so
is a beautifully well balanced Flanders red. It's got almost a Brazil nut kind of aftertaste.
You've got Lumina floating through here.
Yeah, maybe so. She's swirling in my brain. But it does have, like you said, Joby, it's really dry.
It finishes really dry, but then you get a little sweetness.
Just right a little bit.
It's really beautiful. It's we were talking during the break anticipating this, and I talked about the Duchess. It's my wife's favorite beer.
Yes.
This is much more like the La Folie.
I think the Duchess is going to be a little sweeter.
Yeah, this is really brilliant. It's dancing on the tongue.
I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. It's kind of fun to go back. I appreciate it much more now than when I first had it.
This is one of those beers that ranks up with one of my all-time favorite beers too, and the Enigma from damn it, now it's
New Glarus.
New Glarus. Thank you. Jeez, I can't believe
I like how Rick's arms are raised in victory.
Champion.
Well,
I know this one.
So here, the because it's a Flanders red style, and Rick happened to be in Wisconsin, and he calls me up and says, I can get a case of this. Do you want it? Having no idea really what it is and how much it costs. And I told Jen, he's going to bring it back. How much is that? And I said, well, Genevieve, my wife. And I said, I don't know. I'm hoping that it's not more than $45, but I don't know, and I don't know. Maybe it was $25, $30.
Well, the case was $50, but
well, was it? Okay,
but we split it, so $25, just what you told Genevieve.
He
didn't lie.
I think I had a case because I kept that for 3-4 years, mm-hmm. and it just kept getting better and better and better. And one of the very last beers that Rick and I shared before we moved from South Dakota was this beer. And because I knew it wasn't going to, I didn't want to chance it in a moving truck across 110 degrees Mojave on the way to California, you know. And so this one is one of those ones that has the sweetness that you really want, the cherry sourness from that you really crave, and then the dryness, too, that it just it balanced everything.
It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Joby.
My pleasure.
It's pineal.
Pineal barrique, which means wood or oak. And oak-aged sour red. The brewery is actually, it's Birrificio, which is brewery Torricciati, which is my best Italian impression right there.
It's not bad. Not bad.
Parma, Italy.
If you did this, I was holding the bottle.
If it was any better, it would give me barrique.
Very nice. Yeah, absolutely.
All night, though, we've been talking about...
It's very barrique.
The tie-ins with Easter, and as a finisher, this is a great... Mm. In my opinion, I think it's going to be a great beer. If you can get your hands on a quality red or brown sour similar to this, you're going to be doing your guests a lot of graciousness.
It's a conversation beer.
It is a conversation beer. One, for adults, it's going to be that kind of dessert aspect, especially if you're having like a rich bread pudding or something with your finishing aspects of Easter. It's going to cut through that. It offers you a dessert component. But also during the dinner, you know, we talked about ham earlier in the night. I think a great glazed ham with that sugary sweetness on the crust and the saltiness of the meat itself, this I think is going to be a very diverse beer for you. A great brown sour, a Flemish style sour, could be a beautiful Easter style beverage.
I think you're right about that.
I had never really thought about that, and I think a glazed ham would be a fabulous sort of accompaniment to this beer.
It would be a little salt, and it's very nice.
And with those little bit of stumbles on the tongue, we might want to wrap up last call.
Sounds like a good idea.
All right. It was good to be back on, Curtis.
Yes, I am.
And more frequent shows are coming.
That's true.
I agree with that. Curtis is doing some really cool things with the production of the Happy Hour show.
Yes.
Joby's getting us in with some great connections, and we're going to have some really cool features.
Our next one's a big one.
We have a great one coming up in 2 weeks. That's going to be May 1st. We're not going to release what that is right now, but if you go to the Facebook page.
It's a good one.
Happy Hour Joby and Curtis, you're not going to want to miss it, and the way to get the updates for that show is going to be through the Facebook page. Trust me, May 1st, Happy Hour Joby and Curtis is going to be one to tune into. Also, again, hashtags, we can't emphasize enough, the way to follow our conversation is at hashtag HHW Joby and Curtis. Or if you want to shorten it down, you don't like typing, hashtag HHWJNC. That's hashtag Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Truncate it nicely.
I think that's a really good 420.
It's kind of like
420 Easter. Happy hour with JC.
Well, I was going to say it's kind of like WW. What would Jesus do?
Right, right. What that's would why JC
I had,
do?
I had to throw the "and" in there because I was like, no, JC
that's the next bumper sticker. What would JC Joby Curtis do?
And I didn't even get to. I worked the whole joke. But so what we say about this? You know, what three of these and Jesus, you'll be hammered.
You had to get it in.
I had to. I'm sorry,
but we do have some great development coming up with the Happy Hour joke. Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis show. Momentum is building, and you're going to want to stick with us as we start to grow this show into a great platform. We already have good content in the past. Go to hopheadsaid.com and look up the past shows. But trust me, we are on a great journey that's going to just build and build and build. And the double finger point
right,
to the, yep, the audience.
A journey right through
Jason,
that camera.
Thanks a lot, as usual.
Yes, thank you for running everything.
All right, cheers.
It's a privilege to be part of the show. Have a great night, everyone. This has been Last Call. It's Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Hey, thanks for listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. If you like this podcast, make sure you like us on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Give us a like and share it with all your friends. We'd appreciate it. Cheers!